Great Barbara Lynn. Until then, we'll suffer. Until then, I'll suffer. Barbara Lynn, A Good Woman, the Complete Tribe and Jet Stream Singles, 1966 to 1979. Before that, Frank Vigreau, Ruine from Rapport sous le Disordre. Frank Vigreau and Anthony Moore. Jam, Jam, Jim, Jom, Jum from Pieces from the Cloudland Ballroom. Anthony Moore. That was everything, and that's the show. Thanks for listening. Thanks for your comments on the comments board. And this is Freeform Radio. WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope in New York City and Rockland County at 91.9 FM. And online at WFMU.org. My name is Fabio. I'll see you next week. Stay tuned for Miracle Nutrition coming up almost immediately. Bye.
I'm Hardy White. gosh, I'm Marty White. Oh, that just dawned on me. How about that? Join me now, won't you? Hopefully we'll have some fun. And maybe we won't learn anything. For once.
Now, I'm sorry about that. Is it stuck up to listen to yourself instead of something else like music? No, I don't know whether it is or not, but I apologize for it. I wish there was even another level that someone was listening to this. You can do that on radio. So maybe I should just be quiet for a while I drive us. Apologize for that noise making I was just doing. It triggered a terrible memory of being 12 years old and sitting next to the funeral director who was driving the car that has the family in it when a loved one dies. My grandfather had passed away, and he was in one of the Cadillacs behind us. Do you need fresh air? And he was in one of the Cadillacs behind us, and I was sitting in the front seat next to the driver, who was the funeral director, and he was making a lot of different mouth sounds and sniffling and throat clearing and things like that. And I was disgusted and grieving. And I just remembered what a wonderfully human experience it felt like. An unpleasant one, but a wonderfully human experience. And here I am, getting to drive you. I feel privileged because, you know, a car trip, somebody is really a captive audience. And a lot of times I have had a gig where it's a prison bus. And you think that's crazy. But they got a little screen there for you. And all the audience is in the bus. And you're behind a screen, too. It's like a shark cage. And then you just do, they say, just, you know, all you have to do is kind of vamp until we get to the prison. They're just being taken from one prison to the next. And you're doing basically what the warm-up guy does at the filming of a TV sitcom or something. So just do that. And they're so easy. Like I said, they're a captive audience. And you know they're not going to laugh, so you're not disappointed. And then you just riff for a few minutes about, you know, did you ever notice about, or find out something about the warden. I remember one time Martin Short came to our town. He said, I'm going to do Jiminy Glick, who's a local celebrity that I can interview, like the police chief or a local politician or one of your many notorious serial killers, because this was Tallahassee, so you'd never know. Oh, my goodness. I realize that the relationship here of driver to a silent passenger is a little like bartender or therapist or whatever, somebody. Did you ever get trapped in a well with somebody? That happens less now, I think, than it used to. But people used to fall into open wells in the countryside. They'd be strolling and there'd be another stranger and they'd say, welcome, I fell in too, and now I have company. And you'd strike up a relationship until somebody finally heard your plaintive wails or smelled, you know, God forbid, your decomposing remains. What a mixed blessing, though. They find you, but it's too late. Because there's a time restraint on all experience, isn't there? You know, car trips really drive that home. Pun not only intended, but really something deeper than a pun. They are a great example of compressed time, selective memories. So let's say you have a 5-hour car trip with somebody. You're driving along and you remember, you know, this, you say a story about something you did at work. When I worked at the mall in Western Kentucky, I remember that time we set a Pac-Man machine on fire and people played it anyway or something. And then you've got that memory in this, and there's 5 hours of other talking, which you don't have access to anymore. Just that one thing, it impressed itself. You made some kind of copy of it. And the other stuff, I don't even think under hypnosis. You could say, what did you talking about an hour into the car trip? I don't know. Don't hurt me because I don't know. It's not there. A lot of things are filled in Isn't that wonderful? So your memory, you know, just mostly lies, I guess we tell ourselves. It's beautiful. So tell me about that trip, world.
Edit.
I guess the steering wheel, that stuff you know had to be there, so you put it back in. What a great, it'd be really easy to be. For if I can see why people think it's a simulation. And that's just your senses are so limited, especially if you've made it this far in my show, bless your heart, I welcome you, and you are always welcome here. But I guess we'd probably be excluded at the finer places, which is why I love the Three Stooges so much. They just, they're not as, I'm scared of the Marx Brothers, I'm not going to lie to you, because I feel like, oh, they're secretly intellectuals, and they're doing it some kind of anarchist takeover. Not that I'm not an anarchist, I'm just saying, it feels... It feels scary to me. So these fellas read books or something. But the Stooges, you know, always say to me, you know, I wish it was at the track or something like that. I go, oh, no, yes, that makes more sense to me. And therefore, they probably legitimately have some kind of class beef. I understand that. And I'm not putting down the Brothers Marx and... They're fine. All comedy teams, you know? And poor Harry Ritz, whose loyalty to his brothers probably slowed his career down a little bit, even though they are performance legends. So, hats off to him. Does he say something?
Oh, shouting. Or something?
Oh,
don't holler.
That's it. No shouting. That's the other, the competitor. But that's their rivals. The Schwitz brothers. That's very difficult to explain. But I'm going to work that don't holler into my everyday speech, maybe. You know, you like to be, you want to be colorful. And that isn't that how language works? We borrow things, say, oh, I'm going to start saying this catchphrase or this way of speaking. We all do it. And it's not like you're trying to be young or something. It's just language evolves. People change the way they speak and expressions change and everything like that. And references change, you know. Which is why last week I played Sold American like that, so you'd know if you ever heard Sold American, then it's that old Lucky Strike ad. Sold American, and then you can sample it. You can, Sold American, Sold American, Sold American, Sold American, Sold... Oh, I got a new keyboard. Isn't it fun? Oh, you should experiment. Even though all the experiments have been done and all the musical problems solved, you should still play with music. Play with it. Know yourself through creating or acting like you're creating. Oh my gosh, that would be my advice. I know that you didn't take this ride to get my advice. I understand that, and I might be crossing some kind of line. But I would rather err on the side of being overly familiar and of help to you than being reserved and never making a connection. That's why I've always wanted to do that. When I began on radio, I felt liberated because I've always been a self-conscious person and I wanted to make connections with people, be vulnerable. But at the other time, you know, I didn't want them to karate chop my throat or something like that. So that radio takes it out of the equation was freeing. And now I can speak to you and be vulnerable. And you can go, cringe, click. Or, whose catchphrase is that? Somebody, one of those cartoons, those adult cartoons. They don't make it for children anymore. Children's shows are all live people. Aren't they? It's been flipped. Cartoons, I don't know, maybe, I think everything started probably as burlesque. And then, so, oh, we should make them for kids. That's the whole H.R. Puffett stuff thing. I think the Muppets. So let's get some burlesque stuff, and then just take the, you know, whatever out of it, and then just give it to the kids. Isn't that something?
We can get the, they can play with laundry bags if you put a hole in them.
Oh, that's good. All right, well, dude, that's what it's like. That, to me, that's your whole Sid and Marty Krofft thing.
See, it's been all the weirdness has been taken out of it.
All right.
The dragon is a phallus and nobody sees it and I feel alone in my...
That's what I felt like. In my heart is how the words go, I think. Oh, I love being... You're, I see you're looking for the... They don't have the kind of doorknobs on car doors that they used to. I see you grasping for it. I think now I just have to... I have to press a code in. And, good Lord, I don't remember it.
So maybe we're stuck in this car forever.
Thank goodness it has all the amenities, just like that mid-50s Chester Gould Dick Tracy series with Flat Top Jr. and his amazing car that had not only a record player in it, but I think like a stove and everything you need to survive. Not in a camping way. I don't know, just in a gadgety way. You wonder where he got it. I don't know much about Flat Top Junior or Senior. They, and the surname, what the, is that the surname? I'm interested in that. Oh, the genealogy of Dick Tracy is very fascinating. Because all those descriptive last names, you know, Prune Face or something like that, I think that's a very interesting thing. And foreign surnames are often that. We just don't speak the language. You say, oh, Mr. Schwarzenegger. Oh, Black Swordeder. Okay, what? A sword, Black Swordeder, sort of, something like that. Blackett's Black Sword. Swords. Man. Dude, wow. You can just change it to that. But other names, I can't think of any. You know, Cooper is, well, wait, it's the person who makes staves. Obviously. And Butcher, a lot of people last name Butcher or Man Butcher is a last name. White, that's pretty obvious. But that could be a reference to anything. Who knows what they mean? Or some corruption, some old English words like wit. It was originally Witless was my surname, and then it got corrupted to White. You never know. I think only do genealogy if you're absolutely sure it's going to be humbling. And it will be if you do it correctly. That there should be some site called blacksheep.com or something. We will make sure that you feel bad about yourself, that any kind of privilege that you may find from genetics, we will erase by making you feel as if perhaps you are from a long line disgusting psychopaths or something like that. And then you'll just worry about yourself and not try to inherit the privileges of the dead. Oh my goodness, the dead run things, don't they? Always doing things by their rules, making their recipe. It's really strange. They get to decide things, they leave, and then we cite them. Say, well, like they're going to come beat us up or something. Well, I didn't, you know, who made that rule?
Well, this long dead person.
Well, you know, I wonder why we're still honoring that. Shouldn't it? It expires at some date, I think. My grandmother saw the world that way, up from her pantry. Say, wow, well, you know, what are these? These are really old-looking cans of beans, Grammy. So, oh, well, that's in case there's a hurricane. I go, yeah, but they're decades old. So I don't know. No, things don't go bad, or what? I don't know what she used to say. But we had... That might be from a time, you know, like, we don't have any ice in the icebox. You don't need ice. Some drunken granddad back in the day, and the kids hear it.
Papa says we don't need ice. You don't need ice, you're food.
Something like that, and then it gets passed down. And that's ridiculous. So a dead drunkard might be at the root of your family traditions, especially around the holidays. What did we do around the holidays? I'm trying to think. I don't know. Avoid the malls? Is that a tradition in your family? It's a lot easier to do now, but my grandmother was a big catalog orderer from way back. And if you are been to any thrift stores or anything, you see these old catalogs, but they've been around forever. Since there was pictures, there was someone saying, you know, here's a picture of something, you want to mail away for it? Well, since it was mail, too. Not something. You see in these old westerns, you know, I ordered a bride through the mail. You could get anything mailed to you. I mean, doesn't it go back that far? At least to Bonanza. And that's what, 19th century? I'm all confused. I really trusted those people that showed me those things. All y'all who were doing period, who are you talking to? I know, I'm doing your voice now, passenger. I'm sorry, I need to be concentrating. I know you got it. Your heart is heavy, life is hard. And you're hoping that I can help you out, and I think I can. But I've got to finish this Bonanza story. And I don't know why I'm compelled. I don't know who I'm speaking to. And people who come and stay at my house think that too. So, oh, that's funny. The first few times that I'm just speaking out loud to myself like that. And then they say, well, maybe he is like one of those ranting street corner people. And I'm a fine line. I ride that. I'm on the moondog cusp. And I don't know which one I am either. But I do know that I'm going to, if I remember what I was talking about, I'm going to finish it. And should that happen, oh, bless you. You did the right thing by slapping me mid-sentence. I have no business going on like that. When what you need is focusing on me helping you. Listen, let me tell you something, my friend. All we really have is the moment. And I don't want to have to prove it to you by proving how unsure your memories are. And I don't want to have to do it through amateur hypnosis. And I don't want to have to do it through I'm offering all sorts of prizes and stamps you can get. My grandmother ordered other catalogs through the mail. Did you know that? Bonanza set up some sort of, not just Bonanza. Here's the thing. It's Bonanza Plus is what I call it, because it's all those old shows that pretended to be historical. And I'm watching it as a young person and soaking it up, not just like a sponge, but more like a piece of paper that's been run under a printing press or something, or a lithograph. I don't know they have those anymore. But you know what I'm saying, a woodcut or something. It's been stamped onto me. And I think that's, it's hard to undo. So I have to undo things before I can relearn them. And thank God for this re-education camp I'm going to. First of all, it's been so long since I did archery, I forgot how fun it was. And, oh, they do all sorts of things at the re-education camp. Turns out some of the things I learned were fine. Here's the thing about the fishing. Apparently, sitting by the side of a body of water is fine. Trying to enticing things to kill them is, well, it's on the line. Like many of the things I do, aren't they? So, are you going to kill that fish? Well, it depends. I don't know. Right now, I'm not hungry. Let's see. I wouldn't do it for sport, I don't think. I don't even think I'd catch it on the hook and throw it back for sport. That seems... I mean, that's just me. But I would eat the hell out of it, I think, and I have. And if you killed it and it was already dead, I'd be like, oh, why not? So I know my morals, but at least I think about them. And how often can people say that nowadays? My goodness, what's the last thing you read, friend?
Well, I'm reading this book on ethics.
It's not the last time the word moral was used in public. It was used as a cudgel, and because of that became a pejorative. So some people use it as a weapon, and other people use it as a weapon. So that's interesting. It'd be lovely to have conversations about what we ought to do, or who other people are, or things like that, your obligation as a human. Don't tell me what to do. Well, you know, we could talk about that. And what love is. All sorts of things like that. I would love to do that. My goodness. We could do it through art. And through our beloved movie system, which is our religion. It's lovely to have that. Religion is always enhanced, or spiritual experiences are always enhanced by magic, visual magic, stage tricks. And we know that from Heron, or Hero of Alexandria, who made many practical, they called the practical effects back then, for temples. So he ended up doing a lot with hydraulics. There's so many things you can do mechanically just with water levels and things like that. So they were really ingenious engineering feats done to trick people who came to temples. Not trick them, trick them in a good way. And that's something I believe strongly in. I don't know that our institutions right now are so great, but they are using techniques that I believe in. Let me explain myself. Theater is neutral. And all stagecraft is neutral, and magic is neutral. It's how you use it. So I would say a lot of times there's people that got bad intentions that are using wonderful magic tricks and wonderful techniques and good theater. So I wouldn't say that a lot of, you know, churches and other temples and all haven't done wonderful theater. I just question some of the things that they're theaterating. I say to you this then, you're missing out on a lot of ecstatic experiences, a lot of experiential things, some feelings, having your feelings all messed with in a way that puts your heart at ease or simulates enlightenment, which is the best you can do. Because how could you possibly really know anything? What I want you to feel is not tortured, which is a first step. Oh, I want to give you some of my human energy and weakness. And it's a wonderful field. It's like one of those fields in physics. It creates substance by its very existence. Something may come into it and say, hey, now we're something. You and I together, we really are irrelevant by ourselves. That doesn't mean join a club and then say, oh, now the Shriners, I devote everything to them, just like it's the Sopranos. No, that's not what I'm saying. What are you saying? Again, I know that's not you, that's me making that voice, so I hope that doesn't, and I see you suppressing a laugh. I know that expression. I have never done a performance where the audience isn't 90% of the performance suppressing a laugh. I don't know why. Just let it go. Let it out. Come on now. Some of them have to close their eyes and open their mouth for that, to not be able to do that. And I understand. It's like, that's how I listen to radio. They say, Hardy, you go, well, I'm doing a puppet show. But that's all right. That doesn't happen to me. I'm so blessed. I feel bad even making jokes about not having people's attention, because I have, in my life, had way too much of it. Like, I'm one of those little kids who goes, look, give me a look, 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 everybody look, 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 look. And then they do, and I'm like, uh-oh, you know, I gotta come up with something. And kind of the first, you have to go down the list, and the first thing I always think of is, do the old soft shoe. But I've never known the old soft shoe. So I haven't been able to do that. But to break into tap dance is the, I guess that's the cliche. So that's the number one on everybody's list. What do I do now that I've had people's attention?
Number two,
tell a joke. So you're trying to think of a joke, and then you realize, I have heard hundreds of jokes in my lifetime, maybe thousands, but I cannot tell a joke, just like George Washington said.
So say something funny about that cherry tree, man. Say something like that. I cannot tell a joke, said George Washington.
But many of us cannot, and I can't.
Clearly.
So always have one on hand, I think. You know? They're so short that you could get a Mitch Hedberg joke tattooed on your arm. And then just have that ready to go. You know?
So I say, rice is good when you're hungry for a thousand of something. Just have that. Or, you know. I used to do drugs.
Ellipsis. You don't even have to. You can just finish it for people. It can just be a prompt.
That would be great.
I wish I was teaching writing in a community college right now.
You're fired, Hardy!
Oh, that's it. Then that's how it would go, I'm pretty sure. But that, I'll tell you what, you know what that would happen on? That about my third or fourth day of not showing up. And then, oh, man. That's my life. I totally forgot. Oh, my God. I have a job teaching at a junior college. Oh, crap. It started this week. How did I forget that? That's a recurring nightmare. Everything. I forgot. I know I'm going to forget everything. And it's wonderful. Because it turns out it's a bit of a blessing. Old friends will remind you of things. You go, oh, there was an instance of my forgetting being therapeutic. There you ever now remind me of this. Thank you for this painful offering from my past. I love it. Remember this? There used to be a show on television called Nostalgia Ambush. That is not what it's called. It was called This Is Your Life, which is very presumptuous. You go, don't tell me what my life is. You go, this is your life. Here's your third grade teacher. That's not my life. My life is more than these people.
I remember he ate clay.
That's not my life. You know, thank you. It's good to see you again, Miss Seymour, but you don't know me.
Goodbye.
Goodbye. Oh, so sweet. She would.
You all get A's.
She was so easy, but and nurturing. It gave me confidence. I thought, I can do this, because she gave me an A. She believed in me. But it turns out she was deceiving herself and us. But that's all right. That's good, too. What is there benevolent deception? Well, there's certainly benevolent self-deception, but I also believe that theater itself,
theater,
is also benevolent deception. Because really, you want to have an immersive experience. You want to lose yourself in the music, the moment. You'll never let it go. You only got one shot. You don't miss a chance to blow this up. You must, if you really want to enjoy the art or the movie, sort of suspend your disbelief and allow yourself to be in it. And then it can affect you. That's what we're going for. So you surrender a bit of your self, become sort of more credulous, become more easily convinced, let yourself be seduced, and then have an experience. And the experience can change you and give you hope. And I did not invent this. Our ancestors did, and it has never stopped. And it takes many, many forms. What people love to dance and express themselves that way, to move around, to be in plays. It's why our whole culture is dependent on these films. It's so strange that it's film. I like calling it film because it is just a film. It's a reflection in a bubble, you know, a soap bubble. It's just film. It's like a sheen on water. And that the real depth is amazing. And this oil slick of our culture that reflects everything back to us in a medium that we don't entirely have access to. isn't it? Something else. And then we jump into it.
Oh!
You may not think what I do is very polished. You might not think it's extremely clever or something like that, or it even passes as professional art or anything, but let me introduce you to my crew for a minute. Y'all want to step up here now?
Sure, the crowd is. I'm over on the surface.
Cup of Corpus, I'm on the surface.
See? There isn't any. There isn't any. And there doesn't have to be. And there doesn't have to be any crew for what you do. You can make something of tremendous depth and make it complex, make it evocative. You can adjust the horizontal and the vertical and the frequency and the amplitude. Excuse me. Frequency. The frequency modulation. The show never modulates in its frequency. It's always on weekly because I want to be there. Amplitude modulation. Yes. It amplitude modulates a lot, I think. How amplitudinous is this particular installment of Miracle Nutrition with Hardy White? I don't know. That's up for you, my friend. I'm here to do just a couple things. One is, it's mostly like acknowledgement. I'm tipping my hat to things of the human experience. I'm testifying. I'm witnessing to a particular experience, mine. But I'm also bearing witness to your suffering and joy, to all the things. You don't get them in equal amounts. You know, life is a cocktail. And, the bitters are really, they should be called joys. Because I think that's probably how much you get. There's a lot that is struggle. And then there's a lot that's just numbing alcohol. So we're a complex cocktail, our life, I believe.
Okay.
Write these things down. Write everything I say down. It is all profound.
I don't think you're right.
It's not, is it? No, my gosh, I'm sorry. There was a estate sale on my street recently, this last weekend. It was 2 days, Saturday and Sunday. And there was so many people, there's cars going on for miles. And I thought, this has got to be one of those things where they just set up and they're selling other antiques there too. Because sometimes they'll do, people set up a little pop-up business. Because I'm thinking, this old lady didn't have this much stuff. And why, after the second day, there's still that many cars there? And then I realized that nobody was leaving with anything. And then I talked to somebody who had been there, and they said nobody wanted any of it, really. Can you imagine? As much as people just take anything, there's certain stuff they just go, no. Isn't that crazy? I thought that was kind of nuts. Because people are scavengers for anything. I'll put anything out on the curb, and if it just looks like a thing, it'll be took. And I don't understand. So the looks, is that a chair? I don't know. You know, it could be. Could be a pile of sticks. And it's gone. So I don't understand why this lady's possessions were not desirable. I wish I had seen them. I'd love to see that many items that nobody wants in one place. I imagine it'd be spectacular. I think the whole thing together might be an installation, art installation. Because, you know, something can be the sum of its parts. What if none of the parts are worth anything, but all of them together are beyond amazing? Why, that's you, my friend. Is it, though? It could be. You're an installation. You're a weird, quirky makeup of things. And none of them are consistent. Oh, even your whining and whinging. I complain a lot, and I'm all over. I'm a mystery to myself. Yes, isn't that wonderful in a way? Everyone is, aren't they? And everybody is judgmental, and everybody craves mercy at the same time. That's because it's impossible to be able to mete out justice with a heavy heart, and we all are heavy-hearted. And so our justice is sometimes cruel because we're afraid. Are you afraid, my friend, here? Is it my driving? Is it? Are you afraid?
You're making me afraid.
Why am I making you afraid?
Because you keep saying, are you afraid? That's a scary thing to say.
It is.
Should you be afraid, do you think?
Oh, gosh. I don't want to never do that to somebody. Unless they wanted to. You know, some people like a little adventure in their life. And maybe I'm just,
Am I scaring you?
Kids, I would think that at parties. Whenever I'd try to entertain kids at a birthday party, you know. It was cool. But some don't mind, like, some kind of scary, menacing things, and others are very sensitive. But I think it's nice to be able to, you should be able to invite, like, Krampus to your child's birthday party and have them not freak. Right? Is that fair? You know, they're monsters. I mean, be cautious. Don't go right up to it or anything. But, you know, just remain chill. Let's see. It could be a friendly monster. Let's judge it by what it does. Sort of. You may ask an adult, hey, what's the deal with this? You know, curious. Should I panic? And they will know. Maybe. Oh, my friend. If I'm just a companion.
Keep talking.
I will. What's going on? I don't understand. But I'll do it if it helps you. Why are you crouching down the seat as we're going through the roadblock? Oh, but don't I do anything to be a good friend, I think, more or less. And I don't mind driving. I do mind having to pay attention while I drive. That feels like a hassle and a burden. I like that a lot of cars will say, you know, do you want to drive or do you want to roll the dice? I say, I don't know, you know, sometimes we get it wrong. I think AI always says that when it does something, you know. I'm going to give you, just fair warning, it might not be right.
Okay, I'll take it anyway.
It might be poison, the food.
Okay.
I did go to a restaurant the other day, and it was a long wait, there's not nobody in there, nobody seating you, and then a person came up and they said, I can seat you, but it's going to be a while before I get to you. And I was like, what is going on? It's very strange. I was like, okay, I'm sorry if I'm, you know, interrupting something. In an empty restaurant. Maybe that person was also cooking. That could be too. I never even thought of that, except it was a chain. You thought they'd hire more people. Doesn't work that way. What if we had... Are we a chain? Are we a franchise in a chain of a type of being? A type of creature? A biological creature? And we're just one of these locally owned and operated installments of it. I'm looking for, you know, the local store, your local Big Boy or Frisch's or whatever. Is it locally owned?
I don't know how their franchise system works.
I don't either. So I could look into it. But I do believe that this thing that I know nothing about is exactly like life. And I don't know anything about it either. So I like to compare the two. Oh, my goodness. I now see a smile. I see a little smile on your face. I know that a lot of what I say is not laugh out loud funny. It's more like this food tastes funny. And I will cop to that, as the cops say. But I also know that not all art or entertainment has to be one thing. It can be both. You know, like in painting or something, is that cartoon? Is that abstract? Is it fine art? Sometimes you don't quite know what you're looking at, especially with cartooning, you know? Siegfried and Roy Lichtenstein, who were these painting entertainers, did things that look like cartoons. You know, is that a cartoon? Is that a painting? We don't know. It depends on how snobby the patrons are. Who knows? knows? It's in the eye of the beholder for sure. It's how pretentious the artist is. Let's suss them out. Let's see. If they're easy to get along with, if we'd have a beer with them, then it's folk art. That's how I judge it. I can't judge anything, my gosh. I'm trying to think of a contest or something. I guess I could judge a kid's something. Kids making... I don't want it to be food, because I don't want to have to eat a child's cooking. Well, you don't know. I mean, I've seen them put, you know, I'm making a mixture. It's got glue and flour, and I don't want that. So I'm trying to think of something I could judge. I don't want to judge their art, because that feels like you could crush hopes. Maybe some kind of 4-H thing? Judge their sheep-raising abilities? And then they could blame the sheep if they got a low grade or something? I really don't know. I don't want to be in that position. I don't even want jury duty. I don't want to have to pick things on the menu. And when I look at the way that we construct memories, and the way that we approach information, I believe it's like looking at a menu where there's just too much stuff. It's almost better to have a menu that's limited. A fixed plate, a menu fixed. And then you say, well, here's the entree. What are you getting at? Getting at, you should decide what your memories are going to be sometimes. You should set out to make them. Construct the landscape of your past by paying attention to certain things and going deep and let the colors and the possibilities open up of those moments. Gosh, if we really connect with people or have a wonderful time like that or something stimulating and amazing, you can really, really feel like you've have a new mural on the walls of your mind palace. You have some sort of new art in the halls of yourself. And I love that feeling. And I try to create them. How do you create them? I'm not exactly sure. You could set yourself up for them. It's good to romanticize your endeavors slightly. And it's really not romanticizing them. It's just acknowledging that life is short and that things are precious, if by that we mean there are not many of them, and that they should be cherished. But moments themselves are neutral, and it is up to us sometimes to create them and sculpt them and mold them and make them into something wonderful, so that the experience we have is good, and then our recollections, the things that echo throughout these halls for the remainder of our life, or for a little while at least, are beautiful. So I'm hoping to create beauty with you on this car ride. Is it beautiful? Well, my intentions are that it would be. But I know there are flaws. I know that I stumble over words, that my oratory ability is limited, that I often sound like I'm reading something when I'm not. I'm just speaking in conversation. I had a friend or acquaintance that would speak in very complex sentences, lots of dependent clauses. I felt like I was listening to parenthetical statements. I could hear semicolons, the way things were related to one another. It just was so coherent, his thoughts, the way he expressed them. And I felt like I was speaking out of a children's book where the type was smeared. Or is it smeared? I feel like that a lot of times. Who wrote this? It's a fan fiction written by an 11-year-old for Star Trek. That's the way I sound. I know I sound that way. No, you don't. Don't worry, Hardy. I'm not worried. My goodness, I'm just making sense out of it all. And I have on the wrong glasses prescription. That's the way it feels. It feels like I'm looking through, looking at life through somebody else's glasses. And I can't quite tell what's going on. Oh, I wish I could. Oh, my goodness. Oh, grant me wisdom for how long? Long enough to go to the fair, to the like the Kentucky Fair, and set up some kind of booth, wisdom booth, and people can come there. And I can tell their wisdom, and then I can take a Polaroid photograph of them. The reason I say that is so it'd be ready immediately.
Well, you could do a digital one, and it could be printed out immediately.
Dang, you're right. You're absolutely right. Let's just do that.
All right.
Because I don't know about Polaroid. I don't know where I'm going to get the film.
The film could be expensive.
The film could be expensive. And other aspects, how big does the booth need to be, my wisdom booth?
Well, there's a lot of different ways we could go.
Okay, keep going.
You've seen the big vehicles outside that sell hamburgers and things like that?
Yes. The one where the donut is the bun?
The donut is the bun, and then there's a hamburger and another donut.
I understand.
Well, you could be set up in one of those.
Yeah, that'd be like almost like a fortune teller thing. Would people come into it? Would be like an old-timey wagon like that Wizard of Oz had?
Wizard of Oz?
In the black and white part.
All right.
And that might be interesting, but larger. It'd have to be bigger, you know.
We could take a semi-trailer and make it look like a fortune teller wagon. And then you go in that, and there's a whole lobby area where they have you go through an exhibit thing first.
I love it. I love it. Can we do that? And get them something to eat or even? I want it to be a whole experience. And the reason why I do it at the fair, now I can think bigger. I wish I could be on the radio. Oh, it just happened. How about that? I am on the radio. You're hearing my voice. That is unusual to me. But while I'm here, I'm going to use it for as much good. I'm going to try to be useful.
How?
By repeatedly saying how useful I want to be. And then you will know that my desire, that my goal is to be helpful. And the more that I say that I am helping, the more that you will feel helped. Because if you don't want to say I'm not helped, because then you'll make me feel bad, and you don't want to do that. Because you've already developed a paranormal relationship with me. You'd say it's parasocial, not ours. Ours is paranormal. Because I hear you in my bedroom at night, and I know you can't be there, so I imagine it's a ghost. I wonder if any of my listeners who are deceased, and by now they're are lots, strangely enough. This is so how I could, I don't even know I've mentioned them by name. So if a real fortune teller or a spiritualist, not a spiritualist, but a medium or a smedium were to say, oh, I'm talking to a dead acquaintance of yours, I could have them prove it because I could think of the dead listeners and then they'd have to say something from a show they liked. And there's no way that a fake Smedium would be able to pull that off. So that's a heads up to any of my deceased listeners who may still be listening, because radio to me is magic. I don't think there's any reason that the dead aren't listening to it. It's going out there in the universe. It's careening towards some black hole, these broadcasts, dead on the heels of I Love Lucy episodes and anything else that's ever hit the airwaves. And so, I imagine maybe the souls of the dead are flying towards some abyss out there, and maybe they're running into old Lucy episodes. Death could be wonderful. It might wonderfully disorienting, psychedelic terror explosion. That'd be nice. Or really just peaceful. That'd be fine too. If it was like a family circus thing where I'm sitting on a cloud with a harp, I do not mind.
And as well, the children certainly have grown.
Children? Those are our grandchildren.
Oh! In fact, they may be our great-great-grandchildren.
I don't remember how long we've been here.
I died of cancer.
But then there, I don't know how that would be every day, looking down like that. It'd get old. And I hope that you have a concept of the afterlife.
Why?
Well, because why not? It doesn't have to be true. But, you know, I've never been around any dying people. It's really, you really want to lie to them.
You're going
to
be fine.
Because what would you say to somebody, you know, you're about to... You will not be conscious of entering nothingness. I hope. If you are, that would be scary.
All right, here's what's going to happen. You get to this weird dark river, and there's a guy in a boat, and he will say, I need the pennies off of your eyes. And you give them to him, and then you cross over, and then look for your... You're going to have a ring that you're supposed to go to, depending on whether you ate too much at a buffet or, you know, were unfaithful or, God forbid, murdered.
Then you go to your place. Well, I hope it's not that complicated. Boy, experience in the moment, that's enough. Gosh, people say this like heaven and hell are on earth. And they really are. And they're really not specific locations. Sometimes they are. I mean, I don't want to list which American states are heaven and which are hell. Because we all know it's a little bit of both. And just like any American intersection, you know, where the interstate meets a main state road, all those gas stations, cheap hotels, vape stores and everything. What? 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 I'm just looking. We're just driving by a lot of them, and I was remarking.
Okay.
I like just traveling. Don't need to get anywhere. There's nowhere to go. Nowhere to get. So right now, if that's what's weighing on your soul, is that you're not getting anywhere. I'm not getting anywhere. I'm not anything. I'm not... Oh, I got good news and bad news. But it's liberating. And liberation is also neutral.
So, well, now what? Now that I'm free.
Now that you're free, I don't know. You have to make up your own line. But it's fun. That's more fun. I'd rather make up my own. I'd rather self-deceive. Construct my own worldview. And, of course, it's going to be made from the remains of others. But it won't be... The plans of the dead. I'm tired of doing what the dead tells me to do. They seem to have an outside vote. Outsized vote. Their vote's too big.
Well, let's see what the dead have to say.
Do we, though? I mean, if it was, unless it's, like, information on how to make a good wood joint, like if you're making a piece of furniture or something like that. Other than that, just silly opinions we don't need. Oh, take them to the grave with you. Wish you could get them recycled or something. Please turn my stupid opinions into something useful.
Art, maybe?
Art's fine. Sample them. You know, have me saying something ill-informed repeatedly so that it turns into a drumbeat or something pleasant and not the idiotic thing that it was intended to do.
Oh, and another thing. And another thing.
Right? Like that, and then you'll say, I'm not going to do it for you. You come up with it. And then you can even voopa voopa voopa.
What is that?
A voopa voopa? What? I don't know. It's a combination. I'm scratching a record and doing some kind of Bill Cosby. That's voopa.
Voopa, voopa, Noah.
I'm going to say that's mine. That's mine. I came up with that.
That's Bill Cosby.
Not Bill Cosby. Come get it. Come get it, man.
Voopa, voopa.
Hardy White came up with that.
Yeah, he did.
Noah.
like that. Everybody go around saying that and say, Hardy said it. I took it. I took it like it's Hitler's dinette set. People, oh, that's it. This came from Belcher's garden. It's Hitler's joke book. Listen, hey, tossing around that word joke book like it's nothing. Get serious. Everything's serious and everything's a joke at the same time. What matters is the human heart and our experience and our feelings. My goodness, I do not want to bring suffering. So if anything I have said has made your life worse or made you hurt or brought you pain, I truly, truly regret it. I'm not saying that you shouldn't have to take it. You shouldn't. I'm sorry. I didn't think it would be. Nothing I've said I intended to be hurtful. And so if it has, I'd like to make it up to you by having you not listen to me anymore. All right. Don't hate listening. It's not good for either one of us. Okay. So just move on. I love, you know what I love, and it isn't spoken word, but is that Herb Alpert and the Tijuana Brass. It brings me a lot of joy. I like, personally, one of my favorite songs is Casino Royale. Do you know, I don't even know they wrote it, but it's a great, what a great song. Hum it for me. It goes, we're fighting for our lives in Casino Royale with guns and knives. We're fighting for our lives in Casino Royale. From the top of 007, he's got a something in his thumb and his heaven. Boom, he's got the rub up, boom, he's popped up, boom, up, chimes, phantom dream. James Bond! We're fighting, that's it. It's a great song. There's no words in the version that Herb Alpert does, but there are words. You can look it up. My grandmother had the sheet music when I was growing up, so I know this to be true. Oh my goodness, I hope that you're learning lots of things. Primarily, I consider myself an educator. Primarily, and only entertainer, fifth. And then fourth, I imagine myself a nutritionist of sorts. But first, I am a human being. And second, I'm a doer of laundry, which consumes way more of my personal life than I thought it ever would. And if I didn't try things on once and throw them on the floor, it probably wouldn't be as bad. And here I am wasting water and soap and time. But I don't feel bad about wasting time or doing ordinary things. If I get to do it with you, and I make connections and I have friends. And oh, bless you, I hope you feel better. I was just trying to be silly, and maybe I've missed the mark sometime. I apologize for that, but if it's something that you'd like, please do grab it, sample it. You are listening to Miracle Nutrition with Hardy White on WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope, 91.9 in Rockland County and New York City, and online at WFMU.org worldwide. And we are so blessed to have one another and the radio station and radio in general. And I hope that you have a wonderful rest of the day and rest of the week, and I'll see you again.
Twins' name was Ebony. Her name was Mahogany. 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 Twins' name was Ebony.
Say I love you softly in your ear.